Hey guys, it's Dan Plucker, executive producer of the Wendy's Big Show and host of Hef, Sam, and Dan on the Fan. Here's how you can find us on the radio.com app. Download the app, favorite the fan, hit 105.7 FM the Fan, scroll all the way down to the Fan Podcasts, scroll to the right until you see the producers, hit that, and right there should be Hef, Sam, and Dan right here on the Fan.
Cheers, fellas. It's episode 17-ish.
Oh, my gosh. Something that was like amazing.
That. I think it's 17. Thank you.
Yeah,
17. Of Hef, Sam, and Dan on the Fan on Demand, on the radio.com app, on 1057fmthefan.com, wherever you get your podcasts except for Spotify and Apple Music and all that. Literally only the radio.com app, but we appreciate you tuning in.
Yeah.
It's a Friday night. We've hit May, boys. May. It's been over 50 days since we had sports.
And that makes me cry.
That's really, why'd you have to bring that up?
Well,
that's really sad.
It's sad, but it's the story of our perseverance. We made it 50 days.
That's really true.
I mean, as a sports talk station.
We've done this podcast every week, except for that one week. I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
It's kind of bad.
Thank goodness for the Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers topic for keeping us afloat.
Quite literally might have saved our station. Like I think there's something to argue for it.
Yeah, I think you could.
But there's a light at the end of the tunnel now. We have the first, it's like the first bear that wakes up from their hibernation at the beginning of spring. The first sports are starting to trickle their way back.
I mean, they're not the sports we necessarily want to watch, but they're there.
Do you count NASCAR as a sport?
Yes.
Okay, I guess.
I watched like a documentary on some of the things that they have to do, and it's nuts.
It does take a lot of endurance.
Do you guys remember the show that Shaq had on ABC where he went and tried out different sports and different professions?
Yeah.
He did one as a race car driver. Okay. And, like, it is physically grueling in that car.
Nah, not to mention it, I bet. It's just, for me, like, just a bunch of left turns now, compared to all these other sports.
Cheerleading, is that a sport? No. Hell no. Absolutely.
My sisters were cheerleaders. They might argue differently.
Yeah.
They're dancing.
My wife was a cheerleader.
No, they're, like, actually, like, cheerleaders.
Like, stunts.
There's a dance team and there's a cheer team, and they were cheerleaders.
Yeah, I would disagree with
that.
All right, well.
But see,
another
bigot.
It's a topic for another
day.
And
I hate women. What? we're going to move on.
I'm keeping that in.
Yeah, you probably should. No, it's not I hate women. It's women hate me. That's usually how it goes. But we have our first sports coming back. Golf, I think it was a couple weeks ago, announced that they're going to start their tours up mid-June.
Mid-June, yep.
And this week we PGA? Had the breaking news brought to you by a podcast.
Radio.com Sports Pod Friends.
Yeah. Brought to you by Dell or something.
Dell Pod Friends. And it just released today, actually. So while you're listening to us on May 1st, go ahead and go listen to them, too.
Go listen to the Dell Pod Friends about coronavirus.
It's a pod conference. I don't know.
NASCAR is back.
In
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Two weeks. Yeah, that is pretty crazy.
Will I watch it? I don't know.
Probably not.
But...
Well, and it's going to be seven races in 11 days, too, which is pretty crazy, and Darlington and Charlotte.
The only thing I think I'm really going to be watching, if I do tune in, is just to see what the kind of vibe is with how many people are there. Like, I know there won't be people in the stands, but like, just kind of like when the first UFC fight went down and everything got suspended. I just wanted to watch just to see like how weird this feels, you know, if this does feel like sports.
Well, yeah, it's going to be, it's honestly, like, I don't know if you guys have ever, like, been flipping the channels and you see when they're doing the polls for NASCAR. Do you guys know what the polls are?
Nope.
So the polls are, it's like the day before when they take their car out for, and they go and do a hot lap and see what the fastest lap they can get is.
Yeah,
and then whoever has the fastest lap is at the front.
And whoever has the slowest is at the end.
I don't like that I know that, but I used to like NASCAR back in the day. Like,
I know that too.
Like 15, yeah. There you go.
So,
like 15
I don't watch NASCAR. My dad watched it. That was the problem. So the only lap of a race of NASCAR that I will watch is the last lap.
Fair.
Because it's the only one that's entertaining because everybody's buying per position.
I would say like last 15, somewhere around there.
Fair. But I just mean towards the end because there's always some massive crash at the end of race because some idiot's trying to pass some other idiot. And they're trying to win the race. And that's what makes it entertaining. That's the only thing that's entertaining about NASCAR is the gigantic crashes that happen.
Well, it's like hockey.
I love hockey.
See, I, I,
I appreciate the sport that is hockey, sure. But I watch it a lot? Not really, but like when the Red Wings are good, I'll watch every single game.
You have a team. We have the Admirals who like...
Yeah, with...
In person, Admirals games
I was
going
to say, have you ever been to a game?
Admirals
because
games are fun.
Hockey games are so much fun.
They're sold out.
You got to give NHL a shot because this happened. I was just like you.
Hockey is awesome.
Yeah, but I was just like you, but a couple of my old like college roommates, they actually like were into hockey and they bought NHL. And once I started to figure out the rules and all the specific stuff, I'm like, wow.
I know a little bit about it. I had a couple of the games back in the day, but
I'm just saying,
I don't have a team to root
it's
for.
So much
That's
fun.
The hardest thing for me is I don't have a team to root for.
Be free to open your mind is what I'm saying.
No, I don't hate hockey. And I like if it's on, sometimes I'll watch it because it's like, okay, this is cool. Like,
right, nothing else to watch.
I could never, ever do this. I can't skate to save my life.
See, when I was little...
That's what makes it so much more like appreciative, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you realize how hard that
is. When I was little, the Red Wings were so good. Like, the Red Wings are the Packers of the NHL. Like, they have fans everywhere, and they were so good for so long. They went to the playoffs like 24 straight years or something like that.
Can I guess a name of a Red Wings player?
Sure, go ahead.
Marc-Andre Fleury.
No.
He's a goalie, though.
He's a goalie. He played for the Penguins.
Flames? No.
Penguins. Oh. Yeah, he was a Penguins and Vegas Golden Knights player.
Oh, that's probably why.
Yeah. So anyway,
I kind of like the Golden Knights.
No, but the Red Wings, they've historically had such a good franchise, and as of late, they're kind of in rebuild mode. But Steve Yzerman, former player, back as GM.
Yeah,
you know who that is. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully he can redeem the franchise. Anyway, let's get back to the other sports that are coming back.
But first, Sam, whenever Dan and I are here, we play a game on Baseball and Basketball Reference where you know how if you go to the front page, they have like a bunch of the names and their pictures. A
bunch of random players.
We try to guess who they are. In baseball and basketball, we do pretty well.
Yeah, we usually do.
Football gets a little bit tougher because they have all of those guys who like made a practice squad.
Right. Yeah. Well, and like it's hard to tell what some people look like because
they all wear helmets
and pads, right? And then the pictures they're not.
There's
so
an old picture of Nick Saban floating around on Twitter today, and if you would have told me that was Nick Saban from like when he played back in the day, I was like that I would never have guessed that would be Saban.
Crazy.
Yeah. See, but then, so I understand what you're saying.
So the football one we don't do great. I think there's 10 pictures and we get probably maybe 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And then we go to hockey. And I can't name anyone.
No,
I try my darndest, and usually it also fails because they also wear helmets in hockey. Yeah.
And then for fun, we like to go to the soccer one. And I don't think we've gotten one yet.
Anyone there?
But getting back on topic, so in 2 weeks' time, we will have our first professional sport back in NASCAR.
It's
not necessarily the one that we want, but it's a sport back. And we had Matt Kenseth on the show this week, because he's coming out of retirement, Wisconsin's own. I was a big fan of him. I was also a big fan of Tony Stewart, who back in the day drove the number 20 Home Depot car. And it's funny enough, I work at Home Depot right now.
I think that was like a little bit of
serendipity.
Serendipity? Yeah, like childhood psychology. You saw the Home Depot on the car,
I mean,
and
it's
you're
possible.
Just like,
it's
you know,
possible.
I'm destined to be a Home Depot worker.
I could rattle off some names from when I watched NASCAR. I don't want
Jimmy
to.
Johnson,
Bobby Labonte. He was really good.
Okay,
Rusty Wallace. Kyle Busch.
Yep.
Slowey Slogano.
Okay.
I don't like Joey Logano.
Yep, that's a good one. That's from back in my day too. Like if you asked me today, I would probably know very few.
Every time he would win a race, he would do a backflip off his car. Can't remember his name.
Okay, I don't know.
Anyway, so NASCAR is back, and it's the first step towards sports being back. We had our boy Kevin Holden on Bill's show today.
CBS 58's own.
Our very good friend.
I love Kevin.
Friend of the program. I love Kevin.
We should have him on sometime.
I bet he would.
He would do it.
He absolutely
would. He 100% would do it. Anyway.
And he could play matchmakers. So he was on the show today, and I was hoping that would slip past. He was on the show today.
Oh,
and he was
a certain weather girl that...
But stop it. Bill was talking about
really
how NASCAR's
so
coming back with him.
Works at CBS 58.
And Kevin was saying, like... Yeah, if I had to guess, baseball, by the time NASCAR is back, so May 17th, I think, was the day? Something like that?
Yeah.
Like, mid-May?
For NASCAR,
he figures that right around then is when baseball will have their plan in stone.
I think so, too. I think this is the month where we learn when all the teams are coming back, or if they're coming back.
And that was, at the beginning of April, that was kind of the plan anyway. Like,
right.
Basketball said, hey, we'll be back May 1st, and we'll talk to you. And today they did talk. It doesn't look great. They're doing probably the smart thing in pushing the regular season back, like the 2020-2021 season back until December. They're not officially doing it, but that's what they're planning.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we all wanted them to do.
Right.
It makes sense anyway. They don't have to fight against football. They can start in Christmas, and I don't know if it'll be a shortened season or if they'll adjust the playoffs or something, but it looks like that. They're pushing back the combine for drafting, which makes sense because that would be right around now because the NBA draft is end of June. They canceled what else did they cancel?
NBA.
The NBA?
They
canceled the combine and the lottery today.
And the lottery, that's what it was. Indefinitely, which I don't know why they did that. The lottery, they did it because they don't know if the season's over or not yet.
That's true. But, so they probably didn't want to give away that. And they, like, since we're in May here, like I said, if NASCAR succeeds, like some people are like, oh, well, NASCAR's just a bunch of solo people in their cars. Well, but there's also the pit crew. There's a pit crew.
And
every team has a pit crew, and they're all within probably, like, what, two football fields of each other in the middle of the field?
And so, I mean, there's a way that you can isolate it. It would be kind of hard, but you could do it.
Right.
That's what I was surprised about, though, is that they were saying that, we're keeping the actual, like, live man pits.
Yeah.
That was a big announcement.
Well, that's the thing is, how else would they be able to do it?
Right. I don't know how they would. And
the only thing I could think of is maybe they reduce the field so that they split up the
I don't know.
Pits,
I don't know. But basically, what I took away from NASCAR coming back is, because I don't give a crap about NASCAR, but it's the first step. So if NASCAR comes back and let's just say
and
nothing goes wrong. Right.
That's the big thing. Right. They're the test. They are the litmus test.
And they're the perfect test bunny because, frankly, a lot of people don't, like I said, they don't give a crap about it.
Right.
So, like, for NASCAR itself, it's a huge boon to them because if people sit there and watch their race, like they're the only thing on TV. They're the only sport on TV. So tons of people who have never watched a NASCAR race before are going to sit and watch a four-hour NASCAR race. So that's a good thing for them. And it's good for the rest of all of these other sports franchises as well because they're going to sit there and see if this works. Because if it works, they're only planning on being in North Carolina right now. It's two sites in North Carolina. If they can do that, that is going to be the framework for all of these other leagues coming back. It's going to be the NBA playing in one central location, probably in a warm area where
Las Vegas.
Right, Las Vegas or Florida, which are the two places that they've talked about. Same thing with baseball. They talked about Arizona and Florida. That has kind of been tinkered a little bit, and it's changed to the three-team division.
We need to talk about the new
We'll get into that
plan.
A little bit, right. But it's the perfect idea by NASCAR, because if they flop, fine. They'll get viewership for a couple of their races, and it'll be the highest viewerships that they've ever seen.
I mean,
and if they flop, then and if it's bad, if you know somebody catches a corona, it's going to be awful. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be very sad. However, then we're going to know we're not at a place where these other franchises can return. So somebody has to be the test bunny eventually, and NASCAR is the perfect one.
The thing that I'm curious about is if they're going to do testing on everyone involved first.
Yeah, I don't know. I would guess no based on NASCAR.
They better.
Being NASCAR.
Yeah.
But,
sweet home, man.
Because for golf, it's different. Like, golf, you have yourself and one other person, and honestly, you can, like they said, golf courses can stay open.
I'm going golfing on Sunday.
Exactly. So basically what they're doing with golf is they're just going to have, like, one person go out with their caddy, and they're going to do a round of golf, and somebody else will do it right after them. Somebody else right after them. That, at least from what I understand, that's what they're going to do.
I honestly think they could still do, like, because they usually go out in foursomes.
Three
I think
foursomes,
they could end up doing two people at a time or something.
I think they probably could. That's like four people. Yeah. I don't see why not. And
because it's a golf course. You can keep your distance.
So I have sources I have a nurse. It's somebody who I know who is a nurse. Shout out to Hannah. I know her husband, Seth, listens. So she works at the hospital in West Allis. I don't remember which one it's called. Anyway, so she said that basically she thought that the peak of the coronavirus was about 2 weeks ago.
I would
disagree
with that.
So, well, at least from what she's noticed from her hospital and the other hospital that she works at.
I very much hope she's right, but that's because we've all been at home.
Correct.
If we open everything we don't have tests and the vaccine's not coming for another year.
Somebody said, I saw something on Twitter where it said that they don't plan on having a vaccine until 2036. Which made me laugh. So hopefully that's false. Anyway.
Do you guys want to spend the rest of your 20s and your 30s inside in quarantine?
Oh.
I've been doing this for before quarantine happened.
Yeah,
you're a resident quarantine expert, right? Yeah,
now.
So I mean, like, this is an introvert's like dream come true, to be honest.
That's why it sucks that I am not at home every day because I want to be at home.
Yeah.
But then you wouldn't be getting paid.
Well, yeah, that's also true. I very much appreciate that I am getting paid by two jobs.
See,
right now.
My wife has the same mindset. She's sitting there and she goes, oh, like, I just want to, like, have all of this time off and just be able to sit here and do nothing. And I'm like,
no, you don't.
I'm like, no. I was like, you don't understand. That's not the way that this works. Like,
right.
Like, you are so blessed because you're still working one of your two jobs. And I'm still working both of my jobs. So, at least for the time being. So, like, we are in a very small minority of people that have not been drastically affected by this, both in terms of people that we know or know of getting the virus and that we still both have our jobs and are employed right now.
Well, that's the thing. We are incredibly fortunate right now.
Correct. Like, hopefully that fortune stays.
Like, my dad lost his job.
So really?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
He's on furlough.
Okay. Well, that's good.
So he's not making any money right now. My mom doesn't have a job. So it's weird where, like, they're, like, you know, relaxing, like, drinking coffee in the morning, and I'm, like, half awake trying to get out the door because I have to work every day. My mom, like, half the time live at home. I like to just put that out there. It's very clutch at this time of year and during this pandemic.
I had to worry about rent today. I was like, oh, man, this is going to be rough.
Well, it's, yeah.
That sucks.
Trying to, like, budget it and be like, well, if I do this much, then I have enough for this, and then I can do this. But if I give them this much, it's like, oh, man.
Yeah,
that sounds awful.
Yeah.
Pretty much every day when I leave for work, my mom would be like, I'm sorry you have to work. I'm like, well, me too, but I don't want to live here forever.
Forever. Correct.
Where was I going with this? Oh, so let's completely change topic. I don't know where we were going with
that. Neither do I.
Let's talk about that proposed plan. It was kind of fun. It was not fun at all. Let's talk about the baseball proposed plan from Bob Nightingale, who was on Chuck and Winkler. On the Bart Winkler show.
What?
Earlier this week, which, Sam, I have some clips to show you from the Bart Winkler show. I forgot to show you.
Oh, we finally got some.
But I want to show Sam before.
Got some clips. All right.
Well, yes and no. I'll explain afterwards.
We'll explain later.
So, essentially, the plan is three divisions. It'll split up kind of like how it is now where it's East, West, and Central. But instead of there being an AL and an NL, there will be 10 teams. So, it'll be 10 teams in the West, 10 teams in the Central, 10 teams in the East. And there will be a little bit of shuffling around. Like, the Braves are going to be in the Central. The Pirates are going to be in the East. And, you know, a couple of small little things like that. And the cool thing is you only play your team or your division. So the Brewers will only play their teams in the Midwest and the Braves. And it'll be a shortened season. You'll get to play in your own home stadium. And the travel is pretty limited. I don't know if they have a plan for the minor leagues. It sounded like they were going to have, like, a handful of people sitting in Arizona for each team, like, at their training facility, kind of, like, working out and staying ready just in case.
Well, yeah, but didn't they say a couple of days ago, like, I know that you're saying, like, what they're going to do, but, like, didn't they say officially, like, the minor league season just isn't happening this season?
Not yet.
They haven't canceled it yet. They said that. Somebody made that report up, and then the MLB came out and said that was false.
Well, and that's the thing. It'll be, like, the 40-man roster.
Just a very expanded
like
version of it.
And, like, 10 to 15 other prospects at your spring training facility.
Yeah, well, based on what I have read off of certain sites that I cannot mention.
The four letter?
No, not the four letter. It's
the ath.
Yeah, we'll just call it the athlete. I was reading.
It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, pain in the ass. Yeah, technically we're not supposed to mention
that.
But anyway, so based on a couple of articles that I've read off of that, it seems like they're considering expanding the rosters up in the major leagues to be like 50 people. In the majors, yeah.
I thought I heard 30.
Yeah, no. That was based on what one of these writers commented back to me today, because they're going to try to do a whole 162 season, it sounds like.
Oh, my God.
That's such a mistake.
Which would be a bunch of doubleheaders.
Leave it to Manfred.
And
the perfect time to reduce your season.
Which is why they're going to try to stick to the 162, which is why they need to have 50 people on the roster, because you're not going to have people play 162 games in, 20 days? Like, that's not going to happen.
Oh, you know what I was kind of honestly hoping for if a shortened MLB season does happen? Is that kind of like what the NFL draft happened, that they would realize how convenient a shortened season could be. Mm-hmm. And they would cut the regular season down just by a couple games.
So, I mean, hopefully that is what ends up happening. They realize that it's stupid to try to get 162 games in at this point, because I don't think there's any way that they can without some real suffering.
Unless they want to play every single game after a certain point. Like, what are we going to do in the Central? Like, they're going to have to come to Miller Park, probably play in Atlanta, and then...
Detroit doesn't have a roof. Minnesota doesn't have a roof. Yeah, so Cardinals, let's go through the divisions. Well, we'll just say what the Central is. Yeah. So basically the proposed
Toronto?
Plan by Bob Nightingale is the Central, there will be three divisions, and you will only play the teams from your divisions, mm-hmm. and those divisions will be 10 teams each. Toronto's in the East. So in the Central...
Yeah, because they're right by New York.
Yeah.
Actually, they're literally across the pond from Detroit. Right. So the teams in the Central are the Tigers, the Twins, the Indians, the Reds, the Cardinals, the Brewers.
Cubs, White Sox.
Did I say the Braves already?
No.
Atlanta Braves.
The Royals?
And the Royals, correct. That's the last one. So those 10 teams. To be honest with you, the Brewers are in a good situation if those are the teams that they have to play.
Yeah,
and those are the only teams that they play.
So it's like the Braves and the Cubs and the Twins.
And the White Sox might.
Oh, yeah,
the
true.
White Sox might be pretty good,
true.
Depending. Because, I mean, they're still kind of in rebuild mode. They're in like this, we don't know how good you're going to be type.
They got enough pieces.
Range
if they,
right now.
If they bring up Robert,
if they're
too,
not good
just...
this year, they're going to be great next
right.
year.
Yeah. So basically, it's going to be expanded rosters at the end of the season. So you only play the 10 teams in your division. Well, the Brewers would play the other 9 in theirs. And then there's an expanded postseason, and they have not figured that out yet. So I would assume probably the top 4 teams in each division make the playoffs. And then
roughly,
right. And then you just play from there. And
so
you have like
then
a
you just go
team.
Back to your standard playoff format?
I don't know.
With
because,
the, with
I mean,
the
there's no AL
and
NL.
I don't think they've honestly thought that
I don't
far
think right. I think their focus right now is just to get baseball on the field, which I think is a good thing.
Figure it out at that point.
Right. Oh, they can figure
I don't trust
out
Manfred,
those numbers
though.
Afterwards.
So,
I don't trust Manfred, though, with any of this.
Well, right.
Like, so, if it was Silver in the NBA, like, yeah.
Yeah.
I could see it actually like going in
I mean,
motion.
Technically, you'd be like 1-4 from one division, 1-4 from the other, 1-4 from the other, and then...
But then it's like, then you got to put an asterisk on that world champion because it was such a different playoff format.
Well, no matter what, there's going to be an asterisk.
Yeah, but I'm just... Yeah,
for any season,
I'm just
think.
Thinking about this because I didn't really have, you know...
Well, because Bart asked that to Bob Nightingale, where he was like, so are the teams going to be like okay with that kind of championship? And Nightingale was like... Absolutely, yes. Like, it's still a championship. No matter what happens, it's still a championship.
Right. They can play 20 games and then have a playoff format.
That's still a trophy for your collection.
Right.
Like,
I don't think the players have any issue with that. I think just as a fan, when you're arguing with
as
your
a
friends,
fan,
like,
I would love
when you're arguing with your friends around the bar and be like, well, we won the championship this year, but and then somebody's going to obviously answer, well, yeah, but you had that short
season. But that was a coronavirus.
Well,
yeah.
The talk for like probably a month ago was if the NBA canceled the season as a Bucks fan and they gave you the championship, would you be okay with it? And for a second I thought about it, I was like, you know, probably not. And then I was like, what, are you kidding me?
Yeah, right.
It's a championship. I don't care.
No,
give it to me. I'll take it.
I don't think the players will have any issue with it.
No.
No.
But
well,
I think if you try to
it's...
force 162 games on them in a like where they can't travel or do anything, I think it might be a little. Yeah.
That'll be a problem.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But that's a good thing about them playing at their home stadiums is they can go to their houses.
Yeah.
Because they can, I mean, the travel, it's all within, like, for the Brewers, it'll be all in the Midwest.
I'm surprised they're doing the travel, though, in all honesty.
Yeah, that was a little surprising to me, too, just because...
But they could drive,
of all of the danger with that. Well, I would agree that they could drive, but the Braves being in the Central, that just makes it so tough.
The
I don't think that they're going
to
be able to do it
with
that. The
Braves are closer to all of the teams in the Central than the Pirates are. Not driving wise,
well,
but like Philly or not Philly, Pittsburgh is more east, which is why they're in the east, and the Braves are more central. Like they're lined up with, I want to say they're lined up with Cleveland, or it might even be Detroit. Like they're pretty far west, so that was their reasoning behind it. They're kind of they're a team
know.
Like the Mariners, where they're so far out of the way in this situation that. It's unfortunate, but there's going to be teams like that. Like,
right.
I feel bad for any... Like, imagine you're playing in Houston and you have to go to Seattle to to play.
Yeah,
or,
that would
or
suck.
Or Toronto.
Or Toronto.
Who knows, like, all the teams in their division, there's probably going to be somebody way
down
south.
Well, right, that's the thing. Like, the Tampa Bay Rays are going to have to go to Canada.
Yeah.
Which, that's going to be a huge problem because Canada's shut off their borders, so yeah, we're going to...
Right. We'll see how all that works out, I guess.
I guess now that we've kind of talked about the bullet points of this idea, let's go into the reality of, like, how much do we think this is actually... Do we think this is going to happen?
I think that a variation of this will happen.
I agree.
Because I think they're doing literally everything they can. And what's going to happen is spring training's going to open up. Like, they'll do probably 2-3 weeks of training.
With this end.
Kevin Holden says he expects the season probably around July 1st or somewhere around there or beginning of July, which, you know, makes sense to me. And then at that point, what's going to happen is a player's probably going to catch corona and the season's going to get shut down again.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on how the testing comes out, how, like, if some sort of drug ends up starting to work to counteract the coronavirus. Because if those things start coming out, I think it's going to be, this plan is going to be much more realistic.
An important thing to note, sorry to cut you off.
It's okay.
Is Bob Nightingale said this plan and no plan will take place until we have more testing available.
Yeah.
That's correct. The big thing. Well, so that's what all of this hinges on.
Right, and I think that that's the case for all sports coming back.
Except for
NASCAR, I guess, but and golf, because like I said, it's golf. But anyway, but for baseball, this plan is probably the closest semblance to being what
it's the most realistic at this point.
I think so. Because I can't imagine. We talked about this. The former baseball idea of being in Arizona or Florida, but it's just going to get way too hot down there.
Yeah.
There's not going to be enough facilities and fields. You still have to have a bunch of people there and working, and they're all so close together. At least at this, people are still spread out, which I think is almost a good thing. And the travel is going to be interesting. I don't know how that's going to play out. But overall, I think that this idea so far is probably the best one that they've come up with in terms of how the schedule will end up lining up and still avoiding travel from too far away. Like, I'm not saying that, like, Milwaukee's close to Cleveland or even Atlanta, but at least...
The best they can do.
Right, it's the best that they can do. Yeah. My big question is, if a player does end up catching the coronavirus, what happens?
But that was their thinking for the Florida... Arizona plan was
they're just going to quarantine them. Right.
But the problem is, they've come in contact with everyone in that clubhouse, so I don't know.
So that's the only thing that worries me. Because
my guess is they'll probably wear masks. I would imagine.
The last thing that we want, though, is for baseball to come back and that, or any sport, not just baseball, for any sport to come back, say that they're all full fledged, we're all go, and then somebody catches the virus and it immediately like just goes to crap again. Like,
which, and unfortunately, is probably going to happen. Yeah.
To one of these leagues, at the very least. And then I'm just concerned.
Just too many people.
I'm just concerned about a ripple effect off of that. So let's say, like, because, I mean, once it happened with the NBA, all the other teams in the next few days
The NBA shut down within, like, probably 30 minutes of finding out that Rudy Gobert had.
Correct. And so my big fear is that we get back into this thing, like, baseball, the NBA says they're coming back, NASCAR is back, golf is back, and then, boom, like, some, like, number four starter on the Reds gets the coronavirus, and then the baseball shuts down again, the NBA panics and shuts down again, and then we're back in this vicious cycle after, like, we were so hopeful for this to be back, we're so excited for all these things to be back, so...
Well, it's like when you're playing baseball in Little League and lightning strikes, and then it's like, oh, we got to wait 30 minutes in between lightning strikes until we can play again. And then you get to 32 minutes, and you're like, all right, let's play again. And then 2 minutes later, boom, and then they call the game.
Yeah.
I had a game once, just quick side note before we wrap up, and then I'll let you finish
your
point. I was playing a Little League game. I was hitting 10th in the order because it was like a rotating of like everyone on the roster. So that, because it was a young league. I was on deck. It was probably the second or third inning. I was literally the last person in the game to hit, and I was about to go up to hit, and they called the game to weather.
Oh,
and
no.
I cried.
I would have too.
because like it was the first game that like I had a few family members come. Like my parents had always gone, and like my grandpa would go to a few games, but I had like an aunt there, and like I was so juiced up. I was ready to get to the plate because I was like pretty good at baseball. And then as I get up there, they're like, "All right, that's the game." I was like, "No." Finish your point.
So anyway, after that depressing story,
I completely blocked that from my memory, and that just rushed back. Right,
that's
there.
Okay. So, I mean, it's a risk that they have to take, though. At this point, it's a risk that America has to take.
They're
at that point.
They're in a situation like us where they're worrying about money too,
right?
And if they can do it at their stadiums, just think about, you know, all of a sudden they're not all of them, but most of their like staff and people who like work the ballpark can start working again too.
Correct. Right. So it's going to
and they
it's
get
gonna,
the TV money and the TV will get their money from the advertisers.
As soon as sports come back, that's when the economy comes back. So I've been saying that all along.
It sounds so funny to say, but it's 100% true. Right. And there's a reason that the president talked to literally every single commissioner in sports.
I couldn't believe that. Yeah.
So that's
the NFL
just kind
is
of,
like a multi-billion-dollar corporation.
Crazy.
So I get what you guys are saying, and there are things that I really do like about this idea, but it just feels like I get the virus has, you know, gone through ups and downs since we've last talked about this, the last MLB idea, but there's just so many ifs, ands, and buts that if they do this, it's like, you know, I thought the last idea kind of made a little more sense, biodoming them kind of in a sense.
Yeah.
I get the Arizona weather and all that. But I think just keeping them in one area just makes more sense than having them all travel.
Right.
Because then that just increases your risk even more. Who knows what the players are doing after the games and stuff like that. And guys will be guys.
The biggest problem
that's
with
that
That's
the biggest thing with the NBA in that Florida biodome. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you keep them in there for so long, something's going to happen. Guys are going to be guys.
The biggest problem with that one was the star players weren't going to play. Because they weren't going to be quarantined from their family for 4 months.
And I guarantee even if you do this, there are still going to be some athletes who might even do that still.
The good news about this plan is I think this is them just completely spitballing an idea, and it was like probably the first time they had finally had enough to be like, okay, this is the start of an idea.
Yeah.
And it got leaked to Nightingale, so they sent it out. I think this is probably the plan that they're going to run with. This is a very rough idea, and they're going to refine it, retool it, and then in probably 2 to 3 weeks they're going to give us a killer, killer plan.
Let's hope and pray to God that it works.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious that we can hopefully come back to this topic like 2 weeks later if we have more information on it.
Hopefully.
Or if it actually does become official and stuff like that, we can see, you know, what back when we thought about what changed and what didn't.
Hopefully we get some good news from that. We didn't get good news from the Packers last weekend in the NFL draft. And funny enough, I got a notification from NFL Trade Rumors that says latest on the Packers quarterback situation and draft strategy, which funny enough, that's what we're going to be talking about right after this break. We are 1 week removed from the NFL draft. 1 week to kind of sit with our thoughts, sleep on it 6-7 times, and see what we truly think has happened to the Packers draft. I'm Evan Heffelfinger of Hef Sam and Dan on the Fan on Demand, joined by Dan Plucker, the executive producer of the Wendy's Big Show. No other titles this week.
You just got the EP.
Stuck to the executive producer's job. And then we have Sam Schmitz, the CEO of Cutting Edge Outdoors.
The CEO of CEO.
I listened back to one of our old podcasts, and I feel like that's a very fitting
That's such a good title. One.
The CEO of CEO.
See, I've just nicknamed Sam on all of our podcasts the Swiss Army Knife, because I think that works really
well. He is the Swiss Army Knife. Like, in this month of May, you'll be filling in on just about every show.
Probably.
So
that's easy compared to previous times where I literally had to do all three shows within 1 week.
Yeah, no kidding.
To do it across the month.
That was, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. You can actually have a somewhat regular sleep schedule.
I've only never worked on the morning show. I've worked on I know, everybody says that, and I've never had the opportunity to work with Bart.
I mean, the only downside to it is you have to wake up at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, right. But like honestly, after you get past those first 2 hours and you get like one cup of coffee in you, I'm good for the rest of the
day. Yes, that's how it was. I've only also worked one Saturday morning shift as well. You guys are going to hate me for saying that, but
I only worked 4, I think.
Okay.
It'd be nice to have a Friday night social life.
So I literally did it one time, and that's how I felt. Like I got in here, and I was just so groggy. I was dead. I had to run the board. It was like literally my first time running the board, and I was, well, second time after the disaster that was the first time, but we don't have to talk about that.
I haven't heard that story.
It was a baseball post-game show.
Oh,
and Sparky asked me the day of to come fill in for somebody, and I told him, I've never ran the board before, and he said, you'll be fine.
That sounds like Sparky.
And then Tim was pissed at me. So Tim was at home, and I was talking to Tim.
Oh, man, so you had to pull him up on the Comrex without knowing what the Comrex was.
Without knowing what the Comrex was. And then, so Horvat showed me how to do it, kind of, and it was miserable. It was so bad. Tim was so mad at me. But anyway.
Man. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Because I knew what I was like the first time I was at the board, and I was like, oh no.
So after that, Tim told Sparky. Sparky had a discussion with me, even though it was my fault. Sparky wasn't mad. He was just like, we need to work on getting you more trained on the board then. And so then I came in on a Saturday morning.
I was literally just about to swear.
Me too.
No blank.
Right. I almost swore in the first segment a couple times too. I don't know if you
heard pretty
the
close.
Time that I caught
I
it.
I went from blank to crap several times. Anyway, so then I came in on a Saturday morning and I was super, like I said, super exhausted during the first like hour.
Too.
And I don't drink coffee, right. So the way I wake myself up is I just drink a ton of water so I have to pee. And then like...
That's such a miserable existence.
But that's just what I do. So then, like, and like when you're running the board, you don't really have a lot of time to pee. So, like, most of the time you're just holding it there.
Right.
And you just have to stay awake. I don't know. That's the way that I kind of do it, I guess. You hold in pee so that you wake up. And then I was awake for, like, the rest of the show. So it worked.
Well, anyway. your turn to try to segue this into Aaron Rodgers.
Try to ball wide that one.
You know who pissed on... The Packers fans.
Oh, there you go. The Evan I know.
Brian Gutekunst with the draft of Jordan Love. We're 1 week
I'm
into
so
this
sorry.
And 1 week into the rest of the entire draft, which on the Bill Michael show we had coaches on for every single player, and I'm sipping the Kool-Aid on a couple of them.
No.
Because I think there are a couple of them that actually could actually be really good, actually. I like... what's dude's name out of Michigan? John Runyon. I think that he's going to be a really good guard for the Packers.
Right. I was hoping that you didn't go AJ Dillon first.
No.
Love this AJ Dillon pick so much. He's so good.
The first three rounds,
Until they are
proven starters, I will never love them.
Yeah.
It's like.
This guy's going to be the next Eddie Lacy if he didn't get fat.
Yeah, I don't even have a simile for that. Until they prove it to me, I will be a fair weather fan with those three picks. And I don't think I'm the only one for that. I'm going to get a lot of flack
for it. This guy's the next Kyle Juszczyk.
He's a discount Kyle Juszczyk.
There's only one Kyle Juszczyk.
So we're 1 week in, and the talk, even after all of the draft, has been Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And part of it is because... Former Packers are speaking out against it. Like Brett Favre is talking about Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. So I guess we'll start there. What are your guys' thoughts on Brett Favre's comments where he was saying that Rodgers isn't going to play in Green Bay the rest of his career and that if he was Aaron, he would be insulted right now. And even through all that, that he'll be a good mentor for Jordan Love. And also he said that he's good friends with Aaron and that when Aaron and first arrived that he and him were cool, which is absolutely not the case. He was absolutely lying about that.
Yeah.
But I'm curious what your guys' thoughts were on those comments.
I think some of it's accurate, but I do think that Favre over-exaggerated, especially the last three like quarter of that conversation we started talking about Rodgers probably finishing his career in somewhere else. I definitely do think that he's right. It got the wheels turning.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think Aaron Rodgers has thought about it, but I do think at the same time it's Aaron Rodgers.
And I think he had a good point that a lot of Hall of Fame quarterbacks have finished their careers in other places, like Joe Montana, Brett Favre.
But
it happens.
On McAfee and Hawk Sports Talk, I don't know if it was the draft or he was on there a couple days before, but he was saying how it would mean a lot to him to finish his career in Green Bay.
Right.
From an organizational standpoint and himself, what he had to go through. He said, I basically verbatim, it would mean a lot to him. But
when he's a legacy guy, like he, he likes the guys like Marino, like Kobe, that kind of thing. He wants to stay somewhere.
I just think the way that the contracts are all set up and the timetable with Love being ready with it after a year or two, it's like, I just don't see how he does get to finish on his terms, you know, finishing out his deal.
The thing is,
without after 2 years or so,
we have at the very least 2 more years of Aaron Rodgers.
That's what, that's what I
at the very
I
agree.
I have that in my mind. We at least have 2 more years.
It's because of his contract.
It's the contract.
You're right.
I think but he has a cap hit of $50 million this year and $30 million next year.
Yeah.
There's no way they can afford to let that go.
And that's the thing. It's not like it transfers over. It will be dead cap. So there is no way that the Packers are trading him
in the next 2 years. So Aaron Rodgers will be your quarterback for the next 2 seasons.
And it doesn't matter
unless,
what happens.
Barring injury.
Well, right.
Or he's going to be the most expensive backup in NFL history. But
which no Jordan Love would have to be the second coming of Jesus Christ himself to take over for Aaron Rodgers this season, which I don't think any of us expect to happen.
I don't think so.
Nope.
The problem comes in 3 years' time. Andrew Brandt had a phenomenal interview with Bill today, former vice president of the Packers. He said that the day of reckoning is 2022. So in 2 years, that's when they're going to have to decide, is it time to trade Aaron? Can we trade Aaron? Can we trade Jordan Love? Because that's something that is absolutely possible, too. It wouldn't be the first time that a high-drafted quarterback has been traded. I mean, look at Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on if, one, Rodgers buys into LaFleur's system, which we know Aaron, he might not.
Especially if they're focusing on a run heavy, which it's kind of seeming like they're going to.
Which, the more I think about it, the more it kind of makes sense with how old Aaron's getting and how he hasn't had that deep ball. And I like playing off of play action, which is what the big thing that they want to do in that offense.
Definitely.
Because it opens up your entire offense. If they know that you're going to run it to the weak side of the field and then you're going to try to throw it the next play, it's predictable. It's the Mike McCarthy offense. Mm-hmm. So if they can throw in some, you know, some misdirection, it could be very good. And it could, I mean, if the receivers catch the football, it could lead to a very good offense. The problem is Aaron going to set his ego aside and buy into the team, buy into LaFleur? And it's a good question to have. Will Jordan Love eventually, will he kind of be the brown noser, like, you know, sitting in there playing in against the second teams or whatever, and
running the offense exactly how LaFleur wants it to be run.
Like,
and then Rodgers
without
is
straying
with the starters.
From it, no audibles, no nothing.
Correct. And then Rodgers is with the starters doing whatever he wants on game day. I mean, that's exactly how Jordan Love ends up winning this job, is if Rodgers continues to do what he's done his entire career, and that's change calls to the line of scrimmage because it's something that he's extremely used to, and boom, just like that. I mean, they're going to say, well, like, LaFleur has a right at that point to say, even though he is a Hall of Famer, he has a right to say, you are not listening to me. As a coach, I have to say to my general manager, my boss, basically, since the Packers are run a little bit differently,
right,
that it's time to move on to somebody else. And that's what I think is the best thing for me in my career. For LaFleur to say that, I think it makes sense. However, from the Packers organization, that's where you...
It's such a
it's
risky
where you draw the line.
It's such,
and that's kind of what
risky thing.
Takes
and
me off. They were talking about that yesterday on Bart's show. I mean, LaFleur's only been here for 1 year,
right?
And
Rodgers has done everything.
A lot of faith in him,
and you're already siding with Matt LaFleur before you really. And I get
how
you don't
many,
you don't have to consult Aaron Rodgers because really no team should have to do that,
right?
But you really haven't done anything for him, and you're already going with the guy who's only been here for 1 year and got carried to a 13-3 record.
That's right. The thing. If they were looking to build around Aaron and make him a Packer for life, they would have hired Adam Gase.
And they would have done that years ago, but they haven't.
Because McCarthy, he lasted a little too long.
Oh, wait, you wanted Adam Gase?
Yeah.
Oh, that's where you lost me. But I agree, they should have done it. They should have done a change.
His offense was geared more towards a passing offense down the field.
Yeah, but I'm just not an Adam Gase guy. But I do agree.
But
he's a weird
guy. They should have done a change before.
This The thing is, I am in favor of the offense that Matt LaFleur wants to run. I am in favor of the run-heavy system with Rodgers throwing the ball 20 to 30 times a game.
It's
a nice change
of pace from the rest of
it
the
is,
NFL.
Right, and that's what I was going to say. It's the perfect caveat to what the rest of the NFL is moving towards. Everybody is moving towards these pass-heavy sets, the Patrick Mahomes throwing 50 to 60 times a game. Right. And doing that every single game, and that is how you win, is that you just beat the ball down people's throats with the deep ball. And that's all that you do for the entire game. And to have the shift, which is basically what the Seahawks do, what Tennessee did and what rode them to an NFC championship game, is you run the football because all these defenses are adjusting to these big or to these quicker, smaller guys so that they can keep up with the Tyreek Hills of the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. While the Packers are beefing up and adding a 240-pound AJ mm-hmm. Dillon and a 250-pound fullback to hopefully be the caveat to it and running the football down these smaller, weaker people. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what the goal is with this. So logistically, just thinking about it as a human being, it is a smart tactic to think of the opposite.
But.
There's a big but, is that the Packers have not been built this way.
Nope.
And right now, you have one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the NFL who has never played this kind of system. And
who just had to learn a new system last
correct.
Year.
Correct. You just had to learn a new system last year, and who you're going to throw even deeper into the water here by changing it even further. And so that's where you lose me.
Yeah.
And that's not Matt LaFleur's fault by any means. It's not Matt LaFleur's fault.
Kind of.
It is, but he's going to run the philosophy that he wants. This comes down to the coaching hire and helping put the current team that you have right now in the best position to win. And I don't think that they necessarily did that with the Matt LaFleur hire.
Yeah.
Long term, maybe, but for the right now, no. I mean, like I said, I like Matt LaFleur as a coach. I have nothing against him. I think that eventually he's going to be one of the better coaches if he is not already in the NFL. But that doesn't mean that he's the right hire for your team right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because his focus, what he wants to do, is the complete opposite of the guy that Aaron Rodgers is. Aaron Rodgers is a diva quarterback. And I'm not a Packers fan. I'm saying that from an outside perspective. He is a diva quarterback.
He's a passive-aggressive diva.
Correct.
Oh, absolutely.
He's going to
do
that's
the best way to
what
I think
he wants to do.
He throws in the McCarthy era on purpose.
He's going to do what he wants to do. That is why he always looked Devontae Adams' way, because he's the only wide receiver that he trusts. He's the only wide receiver that he wants to throw to.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying, I don't want to throw to any of these other guys that you keep putting in front of me. Give me guys that I will actually want to throw to.
Yeah.
And what did the Packers do? What does Matt LaFleur say? No, I want to run my offense this way.
But if
and
Brady
so they
did
draft
that in New
for
England,
that way.
You know damn well they would do what they did last year. They got N'Keal Harry in the first round.
Correct. So what it comes down to for me is I understand from Matt LaFleur's brainwaves why they did the draft that they did this year.
And he wants to secure his job after Rodgers is done.
Correct.
I get it.
From a LaFleur perspective, it is the right way of doing things. However, it is not the way that I would have done things and not the way I think the Packers organization wanted things to be done. I'm getting a phone
call. We're
going to
hit a break real quick, but the one thing I do want to hop back on once he does come back is, though, was this the year that you had to do that?
Right.
And we'll dive into that next.
That, and I have a point about the San Francisco 49ers. We'll
coming
talk
up.
About it.
What is
after,
that? What is that that you have to say about the 49ers? You'll have to find out.
Find out after I eat my burger. So if you just heard the music, it means that we just ate dinner.
Yeah, that's what
happened.
It
was really good. Remember, support your local establishments. We went to
the Brass Tap.
I was going to say the Tap House, and I knew that was going to be wrong, so I said the Brass Tap.
The Brass Tap. It was delicious.
Dan and I kind of got the same thing. We got burgers. Both were roughly the same, but we had a couple of key differences in them. Mine was fantastic.
Mine
was
also very
good.
Yours
looked fantastic. Sam, you did not eat, but now you're hungry.
Yeah.
And I could have told you that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But at the same time, I didn't eat before I came here. So,
see, Funny enough,
it would be like stuffing food into yourself, even though you know you're full.
Well, but that you do that for, you know, for the fun of it. It's an experience. It depends sometimes.
All right.
Not like if I'm by myself at my house.
Sounds like an episode of Man vs. Food.
Not
right?
Well,
social.
I idolized that show growing up.
Oh, I did too.
So we were talking about Jordan Love.
I bet I could out both of you. So anyway, support your local businesses. We were talking about Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. I had one point I wanted to make quick that we have seen that type of offense work before, literally this year with the San Francisco 49ers. The problem is the Packers are building the 49ers light. Meanwhile, the 49ers are building a complete team
and still
and
adding
got
on to
better.
It.
Like the report Correct. That they found out that the Packers really wanted the receiver out of ASU in the first round.
Brandon Ayuk.
I didn't want to try to say the name because I knew I was going to be wrong.
Yeah, it's Ayuk.
I'm 1 week past the draft. I've forgotten probably 85% of the names.
Well, the thing
point.
Is, also with that, I think that's a load of BS that the Packers wanted him because why would you well, – maybe they wanted him. Maybe he was like their number two option. But I don't understand why you would move up to draft a quarterback if your original plan was to draft a wide receiver. I don't know why you would burn a fourth-round pick and trade your first-rounder to draft a quarterback instead of either drafting a wide receiver where you're at or using that fourth-rounder in the second round to move up and draft the third or fourth wide receiver off of
your
board.
See, Dan, that is the problem that every single Packers fan is dealing with right now because we just don't understand.
Because, well, that's the thing. That's why I don't believe that report because that report makes absolutely zero sense.
I think it makes some sense. That
no,
the Packers,
I don't think
Well, because the
it
Packers had
sense.
A couple of guys on their list. Yeah. It absolutely could make sense to me that Ayuk was their
in,
guy.
In all honesty, I was surprised that Ayuk was a day one draft pick, but I was also surprised
well,
was that
like
Rager was a day one draft pick,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Jalen Rager.
Right. Well, Sam, you had something that you wanted to
well,
ask.
Well, it kind of dives into that point about having to trade up for Jordan Love is, did we have to do this type of draft this year? Did we have to secure Matt LaFleur's future this year and taking a backup running back? Well, I get the running back pick with Aaron Jones and all that. But
and
the way that,
like Jamal, that one, that's probably the move of day one and two that makes the most sense to me.
The yeah. running back, I agree.
But after this, did we have to draft people that were specifically tailored to Matt LaFleur's offense?
No.
But from LaFleur's perspective, yes.
But
if you are Matt LaFleur, yeah. you have to do everything to solidify your job.
Right.
The NFL coaching situation is so fickle. You get fired for literally one
well,
bad
I mean, yeah,
season.
A lot of coaches got fired after 1 year.
Correct. I mean, look at Adam Gase. He was one.
Freddie Kitchens.
That's
Greg
exactly
Schiano,
the trap or, you don't want to fall into no, because if you think about it, if LaFleur's sitting there with the mindset, yes, we went 13-3 last year. However, we just as easily could have gone 7-9 based on the close
games.
Got to
remember
that
team
played.
Last year, unlike other Packers teams, they were completely healthy damn near other than losing Bulaga for a little bit
right.
last year.
They were like
and they got
uncharacteristically
yeah.
historically healthy. And from that perspective, LaFleur has to be thinking, it's not always going to be this perfect. I'm not always going to have this ideal scenario where my entire roster is healthy and we win every close game that we play in damn near. That doesn't happen. And so from LaFleur's mindset, he has to do whatever he can to make sure that he does not lose his team and lose his job.
So
from, like I said, from LaFleur's perspective, this is the draft that he needed.
Yeah.
So
because
now
these are his guys now. Now, if this fails,
yeah, that's
this,
what I was going to say.
I had a feeling that that's where you were going with it. So if this fails, if they are terrible this year, there is a full on right for the Packers fans and the Packers organization to say, we should fire Gutekunst and LaFleur right now.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It depends on what comes out on whose decision it was to draft like this. Obviously, it ultimately is Gutekunst because he's the one making the pick, but it depends on how much LaFleur played into it. My thing is, I'm okay with the picks in a sense. Like, if that's who their people are, I can't hate on it because if they have a vision, we have to trust their vision as fans of the Packers. The thing that annoys me is that they reached for every single pick day one and two.
You can be a fan of an organization and not appreciate their vision.
Right. That's okay. The thing. I don't necessarily appreciate everything that they're doing, but you have to have not necessarily a blind faith, but you have to be like, okay, this is my team. I have unconditional love for them. It's like a parent. There are times that as a parent, you're going to hate your kid because they did something that's just so mind-boggling, but you still have to love and appreciate them because they're still yours.
And I want all these draft picks to turn out because I want them to benefit my team, but at the same time, I don't buy the answer that, this is our best guy on the board available. That's literally what they said for the first three picks, and I was about to lose my mind when they said that about Josiah DeGuara.
I agree with that, but we have, as fans, and from what we have seen from the last several years with the Packers, we have a completely different philosophy than that of Gutekunst and LaFleur right now. Mm-hmm. And so that's why right now Gutekunst and LaFleur are a package deal. Whatever happens from here on out, they are a package deal because LaFleur came in, Gutekunst came in, and he came in with the idea of LaFleur being of that type of coach that he wants. So he hires the young, offensive-minded LaFleur.
Shanahan.
You got to include Mark Murphy in this.
Correct.
Too.
Well, right. So they are all together at this point because they have come together and decided we have a common theme and a common goal of running the football, and that is our new mentality as the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. So now they are married to this fact. The rest of us, up until this point, had no idea that that was the direction that they were taking this team.
And it's
and so from a fan perspective, they did not fit any needs in this draft. I mean, they picked
up... Not until day three.
But
exactly.
Not even on defense.
But
you mean you put the offensive scheme thing aside, they didn't even address their defense.
But correct. Well, they just saw safety and a defensive end in the seventh round and a linebacker in the fourth. But that's not going to do anything for your team this year. Anyway, but from their point of view, they picked positions of need for their new system.
Right.
Because they let Danny Vitale walk.
What a mistake.
And that might end up coming back to biting them in the ass if DeGuara doesn't turn out. But but this DeGuara kid is supposed to be their multifunctional, multi-position guy that can do a little bit of everything. He's not going to excel at anything, but he's going to be very good at every single aspect of the offensive side of football. He's going to be able to block, he can catch, he can run the ball, he can do everything.
Yeah.
And they drafted that power running back, that Derrick Henry, that Matt Breida, that bigger back that's going to pound the football down your throat.
You know what sucks? A comparison that I saw today was Michael Bush.
Yeah. But after you address the quarterback of the future, after that point, which from their perspective, again, that's the guy that they want to run their system going forward. So from there, you draft a running back that's going to fit your system and a player that can play any position on the field, basically, outside of offensive line and quarterback. But he's a multi-utility flex position on the offensive side of the ball. And so they addressed their needs. Were they the needs that literally anybody else in the NFL or their fandom chose for them? Hell no. But from an organizational standpoint, they did exactly what they were going to do in this draft, and they are ecstatic about it.
This is a dangerous thing, and this will be, I mean, this is the balls on the table. This is the legacy-defining draft. If it doesn't work out, Gutekunst is gone.
And so is LaFleur.
And LaFleur probably is.
And then we'll look back at this and we'll really think like, well, Rodgers' career is already wasted after the first Super Bowl. And we really could have maybe banked in on at least one more or two more when we had the shot.
But instead we chose to do this.
And, you know, that's the really sucky part about this is that they have to justify it with championships.
Right.
And that's hard to do.
And that's the only way they can justify it. I mean, LaFleur and Gutekunst and this team, they can make it to as many NFC championship games as they want.
Exactly.
But if they don't win a Super Bowl in this 2-year window, basically, that they're giving Rodgers, or 3 or 4 year
Jordan
window.
Love.
Well, even with Jordan Love, I'm talking.
Jordan Love can pass for 5,000 yards in a year, and if he doesn't win a championship that year, it doesn't count for me.
I don't even care about Jordan Love at this point. I don't because when Gutekunst was hired, his goal and his mission was to win another Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers
now
at quarterback right now, and with him hiring a first time head coach in Matt LaFleur, and then completely revamping their offense, this. I mean, Don't you understand what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, no, we're not disagreeing.
I know you're not disagreeing with what I'm saying, but it's just incredibly frustrating
because you're saying you're justifying their reasoning and
correct.
Their reasoning for the rest of the NFL community and the Packers fans. It's just not what we want to hear. But I get you had to do it for their job's sakes, but those are the only people that honestly care about that reasoning.
Correct. So they're in this awful predicament.
I get it, but I don't care about them having to
satisfy their
jobs.
They're doing this just for them and not for the rest of the team. The ideal scenario that should have happened is an adjustment to what you...
first round.
Well, I'm not talking draft. I'm talking just overall schematics of football. Mike McCarthy is what he was. He was... By the end of his time in Green Bay, he was not a good coach.
No.
And he deserved to be fired.
It's just everything was stale.
Correct. Yep. So you bring in a new face. Correct. But you do not completely change the offensive philosophy of what you are doing.
That's the problem, because you're inheriting a team. And that's my problem with this draft, too, is...
Especially with the Hall of Fame quarterback.
If that's their needs, whatever. The problem is, if you're changing a scheme, you keep or you draft these people that can be used in a couple of different schemes, because God forbid if you get fired, you don't want to set back the franchise again, especially as a GM. You want to make sure that you're set up for years. Like, look at what the Ravens did. They drafted Lamar Miller and they changed their offensive scheme. The thing is, they didn't really change their personnel. They still had a good tight end. They signed Mark Ingram, who, you know, that plays into it. But you didn't draft these ridiculous outliers to change what's going on. Like, that's my biggest problem with it, is you didn't trade, or not trade, you didn't draft guys who could fit every scheme.
Yeah.
Or not even every scheme, but just like certain schemes. You pick people who are good in one certain situation. That's my problem.
Correct. And that's kind of what my point was. You have...
I got distracted during that.
Yeah, we got distracted because GA just walked in. Hosts on 103.7 KISS FM. Super cool dude. Anyway, but that's exactly what my point was, is that they had a very good roster on both sides of the ball for what they were trying to do. I mean, Pettine's defense was starting to take shape and still is taking shape, kind of. But after year one, everybody was saying, okay, we can see why we're keeping Mike Pettine, because we can see the pieces coming together with the Za'Darius Smith, Smith.
That's the thing. We saw that, okay, if we have one or two more pieces that fit the scheme, we are good. And that was a linebacker, Patrick Queen, and then a defensive tackle in the draft.
Look at all these other teams, though. I mean,
they got better. The Packers are the only team to get worse in the
draft. They're doing what the Packers are doing. They're drafting players for their scheme. I grant it, LaFleur's scheme is still really raw. It's really new. He really hasn't implemented his offensive plan yet. But all these teams, look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're still drafting wide receivers in the second round, Chase Claypool.
Right.
The 49ers, we already detailed what they did. Hell, look at last year. Russell Wilson gets DK Metcalf. And just look at how much of a difference that can make. And granted, I mean, who knows who they take. If they did take a receiver, there's the opportunity and chance that he couldn't have panned out. But it's like,
fair.
Just show me that we're still working on now, and we're not going 100% into the future.
And that's where,
that's the biggest issue with
that's
me.
That's where it becomes a problem that LaFleur was named the coach, and this was his plan. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think he was the wrong choice, and I don't think he's
bad
coach.
If you can't do this now, then what are you as a coach? What do you bring to the table that sets you apart?
Scheme is one that requires like 10 to 15 players changing, and it's this complete revamp, a complete rebuild. That's not the guy that you pick for a team that should be
winning
the
right
expectation
now.
Is playoffs every year. That's where the problem becomes.
Correct.
And like I said, I don't think LaFleur is a bad coach. And I don't think that this scheme is a bad idea necessarily.
Correct.
The problem is the roster that he inherited and the
was
their
nowhere
strengths,
near what he wants to do.
Their strengths and weaknesses are the exact opposite of the scheme that LaFleur is trying
to
make.
And that is exactly why we're going to see a massive turnover in the Packers roster in the next few years. Because the perfect way to maintain your job if you're not going to win football games is by having a plan for the future.
Correct.
And that is, so far, all that Gutekunst and LaFleur have done. They have a plan for the future. So they're going... Basically, what this draft did is probably bought them another 2 or 3 years of...
Job security.
Exactly. Because say the Packers go 8-8 this year. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Miss the playoffs.
Miss the playoffs. We've already discussed this. Rodgers has two more years left, okay?
He's not
so
going
Rodgers
anywhere.
Gets his second year in, and again, they go 8-8, 7-9.
We'll find out if they bring back Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams.
Correct. Because David Bakhtiari, Kenny Clark,
at this point,
Kevin King, Corey Linsley.
You have to imagine that Kenny Clark is getting re-signed.
You have to. He's probably their number one choice right now. Anyway.
If he doesn't, we're screwed.
Continuing. We're screwed. So then, you're 2 years into Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, and then after these 2 years, you trade him and you get whatever pick you get for him, and then...
Or you see where he fits in the scheme, and you keep him.
And finally, that is when Jordan Love comes. So basically, you have bought yourself another 3 years of coaching for LaFleur and Gutekunst to build their dream, even if it's a crap dream, even if this is not what the Packers... What successful football is going to look like going forward. So all that they have done through this draft is buy themselves time. It's genius from their philosophy and from their mindset. That's what I've been trying to say.
Great, but they could have done this and also try to benefit the future now. They went 100% into
it. Oh, they went balls to the wall for the future. Exactly. Yeah. But if they would have been tentative with, okay, let's address some of the needs that everybody else is telling us to do while also trying to fit their own mindset, that's just going to be ugly. Whatever the result is just going to be miserable.
If they had gone quarterback round one and said, okay, in the future we will build for this guy, and then they go and get a receiver and a defensive tackle in the third round, you're okay with it. Because you're like, okay, you're helping the now and you're helping the future.
Yeah.
But it's when you completely shift after going 13-3 and making the NFC Championship game, where you're saying, we're going to change it. That's where the problem comes in. And that's what we've all been saying pretty much.
Well, and the people are going to say, the Ravens made that big shift this past year.
Yeah, they drafted
Lamar
Miller to start immediately. Lamar Jackson.
And that's a different, completely different scenario. But I guarantee you that is going to be the argument from anybody who disagrees with what we're saying.
Lamar Jackson was a much more pro football ready player than Jordan Love was.
Sorry about that, guys. We got interrupted. Employee at 103.7 KISS FM actually needed to use the studio for a second. So we just took about a 20-minute or so hiatus, I'd say. Maybe a little bit longer. And he wrapped up some stuff. And we're going to wrap up this segment here. I think I was talking about Jordan Love and the direction of the Packers. Basically, I mean, this is... It's just conflicting interests between what the media and what the fans believe what the Packers should be doing and what... the organization itself believes that their future is. And it sucks for Packers fans.
But at the end of the day, we have no choice but to kind of just be like, all right, this is the plan we have to buy in.
Both Packers and the media, we won't know until a couple of years down the road.
Well, that's the funny thing that I was saying during the draft is like, I wish that they would have told us this was the plan, but then I thought about it, it's like, they really don't.
They don't have any obligation to. Exactly. Right. And so it comes down to what a lot of people have been saying all along, and this is how I'll tie a bow on this. If the GMs of organizations did exactly what the fans wanted them to do, they'd find themselves in the stands as well.
Oh, absolutely.
That's all it's going to be. If they did what the fans always wanted them to do, they would be out of a job.
I mean, sometimes they just know better. Like, a perfect example is when the Brewers traded Adam Lind and they got 3 18-year-olds. I didn't like it because I was like, well, he just had like a borderline all-star season and you traded him for 3 lottery tickets and one of them turned out to be Freddy Peralta. It's kind of just how it goes. Sometimes they know things that we don't and we only really have stats or something to base it on. We don't know the person. We don't know their offensive fit necessarily. We don't know their capabilities, like what they can do in practice, that kind of stuff. So it really, at the end of the day, we don't. No. What I do know is this segment went on pretty long, and we went completely off.
Especially with the breaks that we had.
We went completely off the topic of what we were going to do, which means next week we have a topic.
Woo!
And it's the topic that we were going to do this week.
Yeah, sorry.
And that is, what does Jordan Love have to do to be considered
worthy of the first-round pick?
And not even just worthy of the pick, worthy of trading up for that pick. And... so that'll look out for that next week. Who's hosting next week? Is it Sam?
I think it's me, yeah.
So that's
Sam Schmitz.
There you go.
Can't wait.
Bart Scott.
There you go. Hey, the by the time that we record the next podcast, that means we're another week into quarantine and another week into sports getting back.
And another week closer to sports getting back.
Yeah, that's true.
You butchered that a little, but that's
probably
okay.
It's okay.
And I'll be working here for the first time in a week.
That kind of wraps us up. We have more that we could say. Oh, we could talk about this for hours.
Probably.
And hours and hours and hours. Mm-hmm. But we're going to just go ahead and stop talking and get to some interviews coming up next. So one of the cool things about this time of year is we have some new names to learn about.
Yeah.
And we on the Bill Michaels Show, we took a look at we looked at every single one of the players by having someone that knows them best, their college coaches, and not necessarily their head coach, but their
positional
offensive
coaches.
Line coach. And then we did have some like coordinators, which mm-hmm. I thought were really, really good. You can find that on 105.7fmthefan.com. I put up a story, like a landing page for all of them. So if you want to learn about all of these new guys, please feel free to do so, because it actually is kind of entertaining. Now, we know that they can't really be critics of them because they're trying to hype them up. But if you want to sip a little bit of Kool-Aid, that's the way to do it. And we're going to play a couple of highlights from this right here. We're going to just go in order. We're going to start with Bill's interview with Rich Gannell, the Boston College running backs coach. And he talks about A.J. Dillon. And I think he says some pretty interesting things, especially about his physicality.
I definitely agree.
Yeah.
We'll play it right now.
Let's talk a little bit about A.J. Dillon, the running back out of Boston College, joining us right now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Rich Gannell. He is the Boston College football running backs coach. Coach, how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing? I appreciate you guys having me on.
Fantastic.
You should see the size of his legs. They're like tree trunks.
Interesting comments.
Absolutely.
Appreciate the quick breakdown. How are we looking?
Just great stuff.
I mean, I'm ready to run through a brick wall for A.J. Dillon, who also probably could run through a brick wall.
240 pounds.
He's a big dude.
Yeah.
So that was a really good one. Thank you to Bill for that. Second one here, this was on Thursday. We talked to Ed Warner, the Michigan offensive line coach, your boy, and he had some really, really great things to say about John Runyon.
Oh, I can't wait.
Ed Warner, the Michigan offensive line coach, joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Coach, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic. How are you guys?
What do you think?
So I think...
Shut up!
My point being is...
Stop it!
That one was really good.
I mean, I've always known he's a very articulate person, and that interview just really blew me away.
Bill was a little bit annoyed at him.
Yeah,
I really didn't
bit.
Understand why. Can we cut this laughing?
No.
Bill was kind of mad at him. I really didn't understand why. I thought he had some good things to say, but
Bill is an Ohio State fan talking to a Michigan coach,
yeah.
So that makes sense.
Either way, we got some really good things out of Bill and your boy,
Ed Warner,
there. So thank you to that. Last mm-hmm. one, we're going to look at third-round pick Josiah DeGuara. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, it's DeGuara.
I've gone back and forth. Yeah, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, I looked it up,
Bill,
actually.
And we, on Bill's show, this was also on Thursday. This was just a little bit before Ed Warner.
Perfect.
We talked to Mike Denbrock, the offensive coordinator, who was also the tight ends coach at the University of Cincinnati. And, man, did he have some just riveting things to say about Josiah DeGuara.
Let's go to Mike Denbrock, Cincinnati football offensive coordinator, joining us now. Coach, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. How's life in Green Bay?
Suck me.
A lot of times comes down to how willing you are to kind of stick your face on somebody.
Okay. Stay safe, okay?
It's funny that Bill was that mean to someone in Cincinnati, because that's like that's his hometown.
Right.
I figured he would have more hometown pride rather than say suck me to him, but
yeah.
Either way, that was another phenomenal interview. We learned a little bit more about DeGuara, and there's that. And now we can drop the facade.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Shout out to our guy, Bart Winkler.
Huge supporter.
Maybe
of the
show. We can tag him in the tweet to this or something. Because I texted him today about this, and he said, use all three of them, like you're all good. Mm-hmm. But we should absolutely still credit him because he's a genius. Like, the comedic timing on these clips are just
the best part is the little bit of dead air.
For those of you who do not
realize not the real interviews.
So far, those were not the real interviews. Please go back and listen to the real ones.
We do have, I was being legit when I said there's a landing page on the website for all of these real interviews.
And
where
they're
you can
much
actually
better
learn.
Than what you just heard. Don't
There are actually
don't fret.
Some really, really, really good ones. Like one for John Runnan was really good. The one for Simon Stepaniak, the
Indiana offensive lineman.
I liked him. Today, we had a University of Miami's assistant head coach, and he talked about seventh-round pick, the edge rusher, Jonathan Garvin, right?
Yeah, that's his name.
And man, does it seem like we got a steal in the seventh round?
The spider.
Yeah, but every coach has to say good things about their players.
But
so.
I like the fact that media pundits too were saying that we might have gotten a steal there. I'm all for it, considering the first three rounds of the draft. So this week was a little bit different for clips on the fan because this week was all pretty serious. Honestly.
Yeah, it was all draft talk, and I mean,
a lot of angry people.
So it was harder to find clips.
Like even Rick called in, and he wasn't funny. Like it was actually on point.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, you brought up Rick, and now I have to tell. This is how we'll say the one actual thing that happened at the fan this week. So I got a call from Rick. Rick from Oshkosh, the man, the
myth,
the legend.
Already called three times that day.
Correct. And he called in, and he said, "Well, don't you think the Packers should just trade Aaron Rodgers at this point?" And I was like, well, I mean, maybe, but I mean, with the contracts, it'd be tough. And he goes, okay, well, don't you think that the Packers could get more for Rodgers than the Cowboys traded for Herschel Walker back in the day? And I was like, Rick, I was like, honestly, I don't know. And I'm just trying to get this dude off the phone at this point because he's already been talking to me for a solid like 3 or 4 minutes.
That's the thing. You condense it down to 5 seconds,
correct.
But I know knowing
correct.
Rick, that was 2 minutes.
And so then he goes, really? So I'm smarter than you are? And I was like, excuse me?
You're
and
60 years old.
He goes, well, yeah, I mean, I know that the Packers would have gotten so much more for Aaron Rodgers than the Cowboys traded for Herschel Walker. Because Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback, and he's so much better, and he's a Hall of Famer. And he continues to go on and then tells me that his life mission was actually to be on the air. He told me that he should take my job and that he could do my job better than I do. And then proceeded to tell me that it was his lifelong dream to be a, quote, sports radio announcer guy. And then he proceeded to tell me that the only reason why he was incapable of it was because of his voice. And if he was born with a better voice, he could have been in sports radio.
See, now here's the thing. I have a terrible voice. I have a terrible radio voice.
That's not
voice.
True.
I have a bad radio
no,
voice.
No, that's not true.
I absolutely do.
I disagree.
You know, it's like the joke always says, like, you know, you have a face for radio, and then I have a voice for print.
Oof.
And then I have a brain for, I mean, working menial labor jobs for the rest of my life. That's an insult
to those
people.
Are false.
I'm sorry.
All of those things are false, Evan. You are great.
Stop. I don't.
What? Okay. Who do you think has a really good radio voice?
At the station?
Yeah.
Tim.
Well, yeah. Is there anybody on air, like a regular on air person that you think doesn't have a good radio voice?
That or doesn't have a good on air voice?
Yeah, that doesn't have a good on air voice. I mean,
Sparky's is interesting.
But I wouldn't say that's a bad thing. It reminds me of Chris Russo a little bit.
Yeah, Mad Dog.
Which is
Bart's,
probably why
Bart's
he's
is a little
in
bit
it.
Interesting.
I think Bart has a great voice too.
I think he does too. Like, I'm not saying it's bad. I think it's like unique.
I think people just don't like their own voice, just in general. I don't think that it's necessarily.
Oh,
a thing.
I think I would agree. I mean, I hate myself. Like, there's no.
Jeez, stop being a dumbass, Evan.
See, this is fun to me. This is where comedy comes in. Oh, he left. All right. Comedy is all about self-deprecating.
Well, I don't disagree
with
you.
And not pooping your pants, like.
That's so defecating.
Like what? Finish your sentences.
All right, I'm going to wrap this up for Good Evan Lord. As he cries yeah. in the All corner right, of the room. Right. Evan's being a dumbass because he's self-defecating right now.
Stop.
Sam's doing fine. He's just shaking his head. He can't believe this conversation that we've had the last couple
minutes. Absolutely out-host me next week.
Right, and that's not going to be very hard. So it's time for us to go. And and just don't I'll be a dumbass Milwaukee. Sorry for this terrible ending of this podcast, but you know, we got another 150 of these coming.
I'm just
so.
Baffled about that it went all the way to this.
Just self-defecating.
Listen, you don't want to see inside right, man. My head. No.
Bring you some
back
diapers.
When I was an intern.
Bring you some diapers.
Back when I was an intern, Sparky, I was doing a Bucks postgame show, and he looked at me. He's like, I want to get inside your brain. We're going to do a show one day, and it's just like getting to know you. And I was like, you don't want to do that. Yeah. You're going to find a lot of things that you don't want to see. And right now, do you know what I want to see? I want to see my TV and a beer in my hand.
That sounds like a dream.
And sleep before I go and slave away at Home Depot tomorrow. People, don't come to Home Depot tomorrow. That's all I'm asking.
That's probably like the fourth time you've ended the show saying that.
But it's ridiculous. We have a limit of 150 people in our store, and we'll have a line of 100 out the store.
That is pretty nuts.
It's just ridiculous.
That is.
And everyone's calling in, so it's going to be like me and two people working tomorrow. So people, don't be a dumbass. Don't come into Home Depot for mulch and dirt, because you don't need it right now. It's not essential. In 2 weeks, we'll talk. But now, no. Don't be a dumbass. It's time for us to go. Have a good
one.
Bye. I knew it.